एवं युगदुर्भव्यम्
एवं युगदुर्भव्यम्
भगवान् युगवाचिलि
भगवान् युगवाचिलि
मनुजायिच्छते राजन्
मनुजायिच्छते राजन्
श्रेयसमीश्वरो हरि
श्रेयसमीश्वरो हरि.
Translation: thus, O King, the Supreme Lord Hari is the giver of all desirable benefits of life. Intelligent human beings worshipped the particular forms and names that the Lord manifests in different ages. Purport: the word Yuga Nirupabhyam is significant here. Anurupa means suitable or appropriate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna anxiously desires that all conditioned living entities come back home, back to Godhead, for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Thus, the Lord reveals Himself in each of the four ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali, in a form appropriate for worship by the human beings of that particular age. In his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Purva Kanda 125, Sri Rupa Goswami states, Katyate Varna Namabhyam Shukla Satya Yuge Hari Rakta Shyama Kramat Krishnas Taritayam Tupare Kalo. Quote, the Supreme Lord Hari is described in terms of his color and names as Shukla, white or most pure, in Satya Yuga, and as red, dark blue, and black, respectively, in the Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. Thus, although in each age various names suitable for glorifying the Lord are given, such as Hamsa and Suparna in the Satya Yuga, Vishnu and Yagya in Treta Yuga, and Vasudev and Shankarshan in Dwapara Yuga, similar names are not given for Kali Yuga, although such names exist. In order to avoid disclosing cheaply the truth of the incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Kali Yuga, human society is infested with hypocrisy and superficiality. There's a strong tendency towards imitation and fraud in this age. Therefore, the incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealed in Vedic literature in a confidential, discreet way, so that it will be known to the authorized persons who can then propagate the mission of the Lord on the earth. We actually see in this modern age that many foolish and ordinary persons claim to be God or incarnations, avatars, etc. There are many cheap philosophies and academies that promise, for a moderate fee, to make one God in a short time. In America, one famous religious group promises its followers that they will all become the Supreme Lord in heaven. Such bogus preaching goes on in the name of Christianity. Thus, were Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name widely spoken in Vedic literature, there would soon be a veritable plague of imitation Chaitanya Mahaprabhus infesting the world. Therefore, to prevent this pandemonium, discretion is exercised in the Vedic literatures in Kali Yuga, and in a sober, concealed way, the actual followers of Vedic culture are informed through the Vedic mantras of the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This discrete system, selected by the Lord Himself for His appearance in Kali Yuga, is proving to be greatly successful on the earth planet. And throughout the world, millions of people are chanting the holy names of Krishna without unbearable harassment of hundreds and thousands of imitation Chaitanya Mahaprabhus. Those who seriously desire to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead can easily understand the Lord's mission. Some water? Oh, it's okay. Whereas cynical, materialistic rascals, puffed up by false prestige and madly considering their insignificant intelligence to be greater than the intelligence of Krishna, cannot understand the beautiful arrangements made by the Lord for His graceful descent into the material world. Thus, although Krishna is Shreyasham Ishwara, or the Lord of all benedictions, such foolish persons turn away from the Lord's mission, and in this way deprive themselves of their own true benefit in life. Such a beautiful verse, and a very beautiful and eloquent purport by Srila Kridanana Goswami Maharaj. Translation: thus, O King, the Supreme Lord Hari is the giver of all desirable benefits of life. Intelligent human beings worship the particular forms and names of the Lord manifests in different ages. I regularly listen to His Holiness Giridhara Swami's lectures on his website, and I also listen a lot to Dravida Prabhu, and I made a special effort to hear Bhadrinarayan Prabhu's wonderful Bhagavatam class in Mayapur this year festival. So I asked them and the other senior Vaishnavas, God brothers and God sisters, and all the devotees in this august assembly to please bless me to say a few words. So beautiful verse. In the purport here, it is stated that the word anurupa, which means suitable or appropriate, is significant. Actually, every shloka, every line, every word, every syllable, every accent of every verse in the Bhagavatam is significant. But very often, the commentator will take one particular word to draw out the essence of the verse. And Srilacharya Dev has said that this word anurupa, which means suitable or appropriate, is most significant. The verse states that the Supreme Lord Himself delivers a process, religion, or we say dharma, which is anurupa, appropriate, for liberating conditioned souls in each and every age. We've discussed this. Unlimited times that the ultimate purpose of the human form of life is to revive our long-lost relationship with Krishna. The process of reviving that lost relationship is called dharma, or religion. But because we're in total ignorance of that relationship, it rests upon the Supreme Lord Himself to teach us how to revive it. Just like there's a very intimate relationship between the mother and the child in her womb. Very intimate. Actually, the mother is providing all sustenance for the spirit soul to have a material body. It's all due to the mother's quote-unquote mercy that the child develops a body. Of course, it's nature's arrangement, but mother's providing for the child. Mother's fully conscious of the child in the womb, but the child's completely ignorant. Hasn't got a clue that it's got a mother. So in the same way, the Lord is ever conscious of His loving relationship with us, but we most often don't even have a clue. So to revive that relationship, it depends on the mercy of God. Who else can do it in this world? In this world, from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone is an illusion, everyone's conditioned. Prabhupada one time gave the example, he said, if your hands are tied, how can you untie the hands of somebody else? It's not possible. So from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, or we could even go further, we could say Indragopa, everyone's an illusion. Everyone's hands are tied. To a greater or lesser degree, everyone's forgetful of God. To a lesser degree, on the heavenly planets, and to a greater degree, on the lower planets. But everyone is forgetful. Hands are tied. Therefore it said, Dhammantu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. But for the Lord, no one else can initiate or begin a spiritual tradition, a religion, which is meant to deliver the conditioned souls. So the Lord has to consider, in each age, what is appropriate for people of that particular time, place, and circumstance. Because people are different. Every 10 years, people are different. I was watching an old video the other day of something that someone had of something I did when I was old 8 millimeter movies, and I was looking and thinking, wow, times have changed. But even we see now, because of science and technology and so forth and so on, each year is so much different. So what to speak of an age like Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali, how much different they are. People are different. And Lord has to consider what is an appropriate, suitable means for delivering people in each age. This is His kindness that He thinks like this. As Srila Charyadeva says in the purport, as the Supreme Father, He has a very strong desire to bring us back home, back to Godhead. It's very clear because of His meditation. The Lord's not only dancing with His devotees in the spiritual world, taking prasad and enjoying wonderful pastimes, oblivious to our suffering. No. He's not like that. He's actually, from time to time, meditating on the black sheep. That's you and me. The few living entities who wander away from the herd and fall off the cliff. Los Angeles. No. Sometimes He thinks about us. What's the Shastric proof? Well, there's several references, but I think a very nice one is given to us by Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he describes some of the beautiful leelas of Krishna when He was present on this planet 5,000 years ago. And then, very interesting, he describes that later, after Krishna, Radha and Krishna and all their associates had returned to the spiritual world, one time Krishna was thinking, Chirakala naha kadi prema bhakti dhana bhakti vina jagatera nahi avashnana. For a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of this material world is useless. Yuga dharma pravartaima nama sankirtana chari bhava bhakti diya nachamu bhuvana. Krishna's thinking, I shall personally inaugurate the religion of this age, nama sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. I'll make the whole world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. Actually, we know exactly when the Lord was thinking like this. 500 years ago. 4,500 years after He returned to the spiritual world, which is just a spot in cosmic time, He began reflecting upon our fallen condition and how to deliver us. So it's not that He's just engaged in His leelas. He is. But He's also thinking of you and me, how kind He is. Although we left and forgot Him, He never forgot us for a moment. Another proof that He hasn't forgot us is that He continues to maintain us even in our ignorance. Nitya nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, ekabahanam, yovadi dati kumam. Out of all the eternal living beings, and you can't even count them, they're innumerable, there's one who's maintaining or fulfilling the desires of all those other eternal souls. So we must be conscious. In this world, if a boy or a girl leaves home, it's not that the parents are maintaining them. You're free to go in some households if you want. Get out of here. Good riddance. It's not that they maintain us. Giriraj Maharaj, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, he left his university studies to become a student at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. That was a very wise decision. And when his father, who was a very wealthy judge, learned of this, he removed Giriraj Maharaj from the will. And it was a big fat will. At one point, his father actually came to the temple and offered Maharaj a check I've heard it was $1 million. I don't know. Sometimes the figure, the fish gets bigger after you catch it. But a large, significant, how much was it, Maharaj? $1 million. He offered Maharaj $1 million to leave the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. But even in those days, Maharaj's Shraddha, his faith, was so strong, so deep in Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, he just pushed the check on the other side of the table. So when a child abandons the family, the parents don't necessarily keep maintaining them, but Krishna does. He provides everything for us, including even the what Prabhupada described in a very poetic way, described this material world as the playground of material existence. Sounds good, right? A playground. The mothers and fathers on the weekend, they take the kids to the playground. There's lots of things, interesting things, so-called interesting things to do there for the kids, the playground of material. So it sounds nice. It's been described that when the living entity desires to imitate the Lord provides a playground for the living entity to enjoy. Just like a young girl, she sees her mother cooking, and she wants to also cook on the fire. But the mother knows the fire is very dangerous, the ghee may spill. So she says, no, don't cook here. Come with me outside. And the little girl takes her mother's hand, they go outside, and she pours some water into the mud, the mother. And she mixes it all up and makes some mud pies. And the child in her innocence thinks, oh, this is as good as the roti on the stove. But there's a big difference between the roti and the mud pie. And there's a big difference between real enjoyment in the spiritual world and the perverted reflection in the material world. No matter how nice the perverted reflection may appear, at best it's only a perverted reflection. And once having tasted the real thing, you can never be satisfied with the imitation. Just like once you've had mozzarella cheese in Italy, you can't be satisfied with someone's concoction, they try to put together some mozzarella. So when we leave the spiritual world, we get the playground, we get the mud pie, but it's not really a playground. After a while you realize it's a prison, like Narottam Das Thakur. He had that realization. He said, here I am in the middle of a holocaust trying to enjoy myself. I don't know what the actual Bengali word was, but whoever the translator was, that was a nice translation. Here I am in the middle of a holocaust trying to enjoy myself. Because at least in recent history, people have experience of, or they've read about, at least they've heard of, the holocaust in relationship to Hitler's killing so many millions and millions of Jews. It's a horrible thing. So Narottam says, here I am in the middle of a holocaust trying to enjoy. No one would think in the middle of a holocaust you would try to enjoy. So simply he's trying to train our minds to see that here we are in the middle of a holocaust trying to enjoy ourselves. And Krishna is kindly maintaining it. Maya dakshena prakriti suyute sacharacharam hetu nanane konteya jagat viparivartate. This material world is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. But when you really think about it, that's not the Lord's real work. Or you could say that's not the work that is dear to his heart. Maya dakshena prakriti suyute sacharacharam. Maintaining this holocaust. That's not his real work. That's not what's dear to his heart. The work that's dear to his heart is getting us out of the holocaust and back to the spiritual world. Just like a government who maintains the prisons with the people's taxes, they're more satisfied with the programs in the prison that rectify the prisoner, making a model citizen, than they are with the business of punishing them. Because in the prisons, I recently met one very nice godbrother, Kila Nanda Prabhu, in, where were we, Prahlad? New Vrindavan. He'd come down from somewhere in Ohio. And he's working with several other devotees in this prison ministry, where they go into the prisons and they teach Krishna consciousness to the prisoners. And he was telling me there's lots of programs. We were able to do that because in the prison they have lots of programs whereby to rectify the prisoners with the hope that when they get out, they won't come back. Because for some prisoners, life's better in the prison than it is outside. I've even heard of instances where prisoners go out and they're kind of scared and lonely out there and don't know what to do. Things have moved on. They don't have a job. They don't have anything. They just commit another crime and go back in. So they have programs to rectify it. And actually, in modern language, prisons are called correctional institutions. So in the same way, the Lord, his real business is not to maintain, but to the creation, but to deliver those who are here. That's hard, though. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And even in the prisons, only a small percentage of the prisoners actually reform and again become ideal citizens. Similarly, only a very few souls in this world reform and go back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada went so far as to say one time, most of my disciples, he said, are aspiring for the heavenly planets. I don't know if he said that in jest or something, but he did say it. If you think about it, look into the heart, sometimes we wonder what the heart is beating for. Dhanam janam sundarim or annibilasita sunyam gana karma narvitam anukalena kushunu shilanam bhakta uttama. Pure devotional service as the Lord likes it. What's the stronger heartbeat? We have to analyze sometimes. So only a very small portion of the living entities in this world aspire to become rectified and return back to Godhead. How do we know? Because the Lord tells us so. Manushanam sahasrisu kashidyatati shidhaye yatatam api shidhanam kashtim mam veti tatvataha. This verse was not spoken recently. It was spoken 5,000 years ago in Dwapara Yuga. Out of many thousands of amongst men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, Krishna says, hardly one understands me in truth. So the chances are against those who preach. The odds are against the Lord coming or his representatives coming. Nevertheless, we have to try. We should never be discouraged that if only a few people take interest in Krishna consciousness. We've been preaching in the city of Laguna since 1971. Now look how many people are sitting in this temple room. And that's because it's a festival and you've come from other places. But Tukaram and his team, they don't become discouraged. They keep preaching and preaching and preaching. And even of those who come here, how many of us will actually achieve perfection? But we have to try because it's the Lord's desire. And we perform devotional service according to his desire, what pleases him. Again, annibilasita sunya gana karma navitam anukalena shilanam bhakta uttama. Service means the best service is that service which gives pleasure to Krishna. Just like Prabhupada describes four different types of disciples. The fourth class disciple gets the order of the guru, refuses to carry it out. The third class disciple, he gets the order of the guru, and he carries it out complaining. The second class disciple, he gets the order of the guru, and with great pleasure he carries it out. So what's the first class disciple? The first class disciple is the one who anticipates, understands the desire of the spiritual master, and carries his mission out without even being asked. That's the best. So we have to try. Alfred Tennyson, a famous English author, he once wrote a poem called In Memoriam. And he said, I hold it true, whatever befall. I feel it when I sorrow most. 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. That's his way. We'll dovetail that verse in Krishna consciousness. It's better to try and deliver the conditioned souls with only a little success or no success than to have never tried at all. Or you could say, I hold it true. Whatever befall, I feel it when I sorrow most. 'Tis better to have preached and failed than to have never preached at all. And Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, understanding this situation, how difficult it is, because we came here of our own accord, he said, I will consider my whole mission. His mission was called Gaudiya Math. I'll consider the whole mission with all the 50,000 disciples he initiated, all the temples he opened around India, and how he smashed the Ramakrishna mission and everything that he did. He said, I will consider the whole thing a success if I can just make one person a pure devotee of the Lord. And he did. And many, I'm sure. So we have a great challenge ahead of us. And we can't fail. It wasn't so difficult in Satya Yuga. It was somewhat more difficult in Treta Yuga. It was very difficult in the Dwapara Yuga. But you could say now it's practically impossible. Why? Well, the Bhagavatam points out why it's so difficult for people to be pious, what to speak religious in this age. Because this is an age which is very much predominated by the mode of ignorance and to some degree passion and practically no goodness. So under the influence of these gunas, these ropes, people's, all their bad qualities come out. Tadas tanu dinam dharma satyam socham samadhaya kalena bhalina rajan nansyat yayur bhalam shmiti. This is such an important verse. Then, O King, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength, memory will all diminish day by day because of the powerful influence of the age of Kali. So the fact is that because we're so much in contact with the lower modes of nature, is it difficult for the Lord or his representative to deliver us, even if they want to, even if they have the order to? It's really hard. I remember one time when I was 14, I went to Mexico. I was surfing I forget the place now. Probably good, I forget it. Oh, San Blas. San Blas, they have a wave that's a mile long. I see some of your faces lighting up here. You know, the younger boys. There's a mile-long wave. I know, I caught it. It was almost like Svarglok. Trying to forget. After surfing for several hours, I came back onto the beach, and then I saw a group of Mexican people. They were screaming and yelling and crying and pointing out beyond the breakers. And I looked out, and there was a body floating. Some young girl, she was 12 or 13. Somehow she'd gone into the water and the current had carried her out and she was floating face down. So I swam out because the Mexican people, they were fishermen, but I guess they didn't know how to swim. So I swam out and I grabbed her and I could see she was still, there were some symptoms of life there. So we were young, we had a lifeguard training course, so we put her arm like this and did the scissor kick and got back through the breakers back to the shore. And at that time I gave her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. But she was by that time very blue. By the time I got her back in, she was blue and there was no symptoms of life by that time, actually. I kept trying and trying, but I knew that it wouldn't work because she was dead. So because she drowned, I couldn't bring her back. So, in the same way, we're drowning in the ocean of material existence. Difficult to save us. But I had to try. And the preachers have to try as well. Naturally, the Lord's more inclined to deliver us than maintain us here. It's expensive to run a prison. It costs a lot of taxpayers' money. What do the prisoners do all day? They just eat and sleep. So it's in the interest of the government to get them released. In the same way, it's in the interest of the Lord to release us from material existence. But what a challenge. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, he comes in a very special incarnation, not an ordinary incarnation. Of course, you can't say incarnations are ordinary. But we're paraphrasing, like Prabhupada did when we asked him, or a devotee asked him, tell us something about your Guru Maharaj. He said, my Guru Maharaj, he was no ordinary spiritual master. He saved me. Now, Prabhupada didn't mean to say that spiritual masters are ordinary, but he was just giving emphasis to his Guru Maharaj, who he had felt had personally delivered him to lotus feet of Krishna. He is no ordinary spiritual master. He delivered me. So we can use that, draw from that, and say that Lord Chaitanya is no ordinary incarnation. Why? Because he can deliver all the people of Kali Yuga. And he proved it, like he's talking with someone. Prove it. You say to someone, they have an argument, prove it. Well, Kaviraj Goswami tells us that during the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he finished up the manifest pastimes, they became uppercut, unmanifested. They're still dancing there in Mayapur. But when he finished up, lo and behold, there wasn't a soul left in this universe. They'd all gone back to Godhead. That's Shastra, as a Shastric statement. And Chaitanya Charitamrita. I sometimes think about that because I was doing some timing there, and that's Christopher Columbus back to Godhead. He delivered. So he's no ordinary incarnation, and this was realized immediately by Rupa Goswami when he saw Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurtase Namah. You're no ordinary incarnation. You're even more merciful than Krishna himself. Because you're delivering this process to everyone, not just brahmanas. Generally, it's the brahmanas. Namo brahmanya devaya, go brahman hitaya cha, jagaditaya krishna, govindaya, namo namaha. They're the chosen few. Many are called, but few are chosen. Generally, it's the brahmanas, due to being in the mode of goodness and transcending into the mode of sudhasattva, they get delivered. Who's this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's going out in his Nama Sankirtan, and through the potency of the holy name, he's delivering the most fallen. What kind of incarnation is this? And what is he giving them? Generally, when an incarnation comes, Paritranaya Sadhanam, Vinashaya Taduskritam. He has three businesses. He delivers pious people, he kills demons, and annihilates miscreants. There's no mention that they bestow love of God. But that's the primary message, the primary mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's flooding the world. What type of love of God? Aishvarya Bhav? The love of Vaikuntha? No. What is he doing? He's giving Braj Bhakti to fallen souls like Jagai and Madhai. Therefore, Rupa Goswami composed that verse. Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurutasaya Namaha. He's a special incarnation with a special process. What's the special process? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It was so unique, it was so special, it was so quote-unquote untraditional at the time that he appeared, that there were a lot of people doubting him. What kind of sannyasi is this? Sannyasis are supposed to stay in the ashram and study Vedanta and teach it and live a very austere life. But when the Mayavadi sannyasi saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his way to Vrindavan in a golden color with just singing and dancing and a flower garland around his neck, preaching to men and women and children and animals, as they may have heard, what is this? They couldn't believe. It took a special act of God to deliver them. What did he do? He went to their ashram and he sat where the chapalas, the sandals are in humility. And they thought, this is not right. The sannyasi should not sit. So they looked at him, and he radiated the Brahman effulgence from his transcendental form, and they figured it out, that it's coming from this person. He must be Narayan. It took an intervention of God, a miracle, to deliver them. It was really hard to convince them, because it's such a unique incarnation. However, when the devotees saw him, because the devotees had come with him from the spiritual world, they knew what was going on. Just like an actor dresses on the stage and he fools the audience. He doesn't fool his family members. Are the family members fooled when his son sees his father playing King Lear on the stage of Shakespeare? The whole audience is thinking, he's such a good actor, thinking, God, this is King Lear. But the son is saying, oh, Daddy, take off that stupid costume and come home. So many people may not, even today, they may not know or appreciate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's our duty to reveal to the world who is this most recent incarnation. But the devotees who came with Mahaprabhu, most of them were gopis in the spiritual world. And to participate in this sannyasi's leelas, they had to accept male forms. They weren't fooled. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it didn't take much to convince him that he was God. In fact, very soon he wrote one very beautiful verse, very early in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, predicting the mission of this incarnation. He said, Petitanam Durgatam Drishtva Vaishnava Loka Pavana Koro Dutva Harir Nama Yachanti Kripaya Kalo. It's one of my favorite verses. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, in the age of Kali, compassionate Vaishnavas will see the degraded and unfortunate nature of this world, and they will raise their hands begging for help from the names of Hari. And then he wrote, now listen carefully, because this is such a wonderful prediction. When I found this verse amongst the writings of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, my hair stood on end. It wasn't ecstasy, it was just excitement. Tilaka vimala mala nama yukta pavitraha hari hari kalimadye evam evam bababhuha. From the moment that the holy names of Krishna became manifest on the earth, Vaishnavas began appearing everywhere, wearing tilak and neck beads, and equipped with the Maha Mantra, they purified the atmosphere of Kali Yuga, chanting Hari Hari. So indeed, it came to pass. That's the best part. So indeed, it came to pass. Now, they all recognize, his associates, they recognize, and they with their pen, they wrote what would happen in the future. Trigana Kala, they can see the past, the present, and the future. When Prabodhananda Saraswati, after associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and realizing, what is the nature of this incarnation as compared to all the other incarnations? He wrote, and it's quoted by Rupa Goswami in Padyavali, what benefit did the world attain when Lord Ram, Lord Nrisimha, and many other incarnations of Godhead killed so many Rakshasas and Daitya demons? How important is it that Lord Kapila and other incarnations reveal the paths of Sankhya and Yoga? How glorious is it, the transcendental fanatic, how glorious is it that Lord Brahma and other guna avatars create, maintain, and destroy the material universes? How auspicious is it that Lord Varaha lifted the earth from the Garbhadak ocean? We do not consider any of these activities to be very significant. The most important thing is that Lord Chaitanya has revealed the great splendor of pure love of God. Let us glorify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I didn't quote the Sanskrit because I can't. But if you want to learn the Sanskrit along with the verse, then you should get the CDs of Dravida Prabhu. He just, without one little flow, like the Ganges flowing from his mouth, these verses are coming out. So Lord Chaitanya is a special incarnation because he specializes in delivering to people of this age. Just like if you have you go to the doctor, if you've got a really bad case of something, first you have to go to the doctor, then he sends it to a specialist. Ordinary doctors can't do it. You go to the specialist. So here's the specialist incarnation, just like the army. They have special forces, particularly meant for combat missions. Nowadays, many of the men are very patriotic in this country, so they want to join a special fighting unit. They'll join the Delta Force. They'll join the Navy SEALs. They'll join the Green Berets, or they'll join the best fighting unit in America, the United States Marine Corps. Our boys down there in Camp Pendleton, not far away. So the Lord, he's a special incarnation to rescue the most fallen. Now, who does he consider the most fallen? We usually, in these type of talks, these lectures, we usually give the example of Jagai and Mate as the most fallen. And we talk about their bad habits and their crimes. And usually we kind of portray them, like in a Sunday program, we'll do the Sunday feast on Lord Nityananda's appearance day or something. And they're kind of comical. We'll choose somebody, come of our boys from the audience, and then we see them pretending to drink and, rabble-rouse, and we all get a good laugh. They weren't like that. They were dacoits. If you've been in India, you know the word dacoit. You get a little afraid when you hear the dacoits are about at night. So Jagai and Mate were they were Dvijapandu. They were fallen Brahmanas, but they were rapers and murderers and extortionists. And people lived in great fear at that time. It wasn't from some comic book that's coming. But we get a more detailed definition of the power of the holy names and the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the writings of Kaviraj Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamrita. He gives a list of what is fallen. And from that list we can appreciate the power of the holy name. He says, Sanyasya Kariya Prabhu Kaila Akarshanaha Yateka Pala Nachila Parki Ghari Ganaha. After accepting the sannyas order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracted the attention of those who had evaded him. In other words, as described earlier, he cast a net which no one can escape. Like a fisherman casts a net, and if they're really good fishermen, then no fish can escape. So Mahaprabhu cast a net in which it was understood no one could escape. But some people started to escape. Who escaped? Beginning with the logicians. That was hard for him to deliver the logicians. And then, Pudaya Pashandi Karmi Ninda Kari Yata Tari Ashi Prabhu Paya Haya Avanata. Then he lists the fallen people. And Sankirtan devotees will be able to relate to this. What does it mean to be fallen in Kali Yuga? If you're what? A student? An infidel? A fruitive worker? And a critic of the Vaishnavas? But he says, by the potency of the Lord, all of these, including the logicians, came to surrender. Lord Chaitanya excused them all, and they emerged into the ocean of devotional service, for no one can escape the unique loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he specializes. Therefore, understanding this, Narottam Das Thakur, in true humility, although he was a pure devotee, in true humility, considered himself very fallen. Considering that Mahaprabhu delivers the most fallen, he made a prayer. Patita pavana hetu tava avatar. Mo sama patita prabhu napayivi ar. My dear Lord, your incarnation is to reclaim the most fallen. Here you go. I'm the most fallen, so my claim comes first. So one devotee asked me, one time I quoted that verse, he said, well, Guru Maharaj, does that mean that to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I should become very fallen? I said, no, you're already very fallen. You don't have to work on it. So what is this process for delivering the critic, for delivering the student, for delivering the fruitive worker, for delivering the infidel, and all the people of California, United States of America, and everywhere else? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And because that is the process itself is worshipable. Tadiya means that which is connected to the Lord. It's also worshipable. Just like before you start puja. Before you worship the deity, the strict pujari, he worships the paraphernalia to worship the deity. Because it's also worshipable. And therefore this verse says, intelligent human beings worship the particular forms and names that the Lord manifests in different ages. So we're worshiping the name. In this age, the name is worshipable because it does all this amazing stuff. And generally you worship, what do you worship with? You worship with incense, you worship with a ghee lamp, you worship with flowers. But Rupa Goswami has taught us the art of worshiping with the pen. His verses are themselves glorification of the Lord. You can see Dravida's smile. This is how he, one way that he appreciates the worshiping. Like he writes in Padyavali, Rupa Goswami, about the beauty of the holy name. He said, as a rising sun immediately dissipates all the world's darkness, which is deep like an ocean. So the holy name of the Lord, if chanted once without offenses, can dissipate all of the living entities, the reactions of the living entity's sinful life. All glory is to that holy name of the Lord, which is auspicious to the entire world. So what is worshipable about the holy name? It frees us from sins. And as we discussed many times, it uproots those desires which are causes of those sins. Frees us from material desires, you could say bad habits. It's hard to give up bad habits, as many of us are experiencing 35 or 40 years down the road. We don't want to discourage the new devotees, but there was one poet, his name was Somerset Maugham. He said, the unfortunate thing about this world is that good habits are so much easier to give up than bad ones. But it's possible. Chanakapanda says, you can only give up something if you get something better. So what's the best of the best? By which you experience the highest nectar. Param Drishtam Divarantante. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Therefore, Rupa Goswami goes on in his glorification, his worship of the Lord. He says, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, when someone desires to chant your holy name, sins tremble in fear. The glory of material illusion faints unconscious. Yamaraja's scribe, Chitragupta, becomes happy and glances at the devotee's toenails with awe and reverence. And Lord Brahma prepares Madhuparka to worship that devotee's feet. O Lord, what more can I say than this? And then, as we all know from our study of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the ultimate benediction that the Lord gives the fallen souls in this age is prema. What happens when one gets prema? How will you recognize when somebody's sitting next to you? And it will happen. Don't think it won't happen. How will you recognize? Because Bhagavatam says, when a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. So that's a little preview. It will happen. And all that can be achieved by this special incarnation. And you are recipients. We are recipients of that mercy. And we do experience it. We get little previews. As Jiva Goswami says in his Bhakti Sandarbha, the beauty of this Nama Sankirtan is that even a neophyte devotee can experience a deep spiritual emotion by chanting in the association of other devotees. Therefore, this verse, Acharya Dev selects that Anurupa, this incarnation, and the names that he has given, they're appropriate for this age. And Sri Kaviratna concludes, in conclusion, again Rupa Goswami, one who daily sings the glories of Yasoda's son, Krishna, which are as cooling as sandalwood and camphor, is not troubled by the days of Kali Yuga. For him, at every step, there's a torrential flood of the sweetest nectar. Shri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada Ki. Now we will all take that nectar because we can't just keep it for ourselves. Spiritual mathematics has proven that the more you give out, the more you get. It's not like material mathematics. So now that we've appreciated that and we're enjoying so much Jesus' association in this chanting, let's go out for an hour and drown the city of Laguna Beach, not in salt water or rain, but in the nectar of chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Por Premanande.